Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Wednesday, June 7th. Do you know what day it is? It's today in sports betting. Yes, it's a Wednesday. It's the midweek. It's hump day. What are you doing today? Hopefully you're watching some sports. Big game in the NBA tonight. Don't want to say it's a pivotal game, but if Miami wins... Uh-oh, there go fireworks for the panic on the Denver button. And a full slate of Major League Baseball. Welcome again. I'm your host, Doug Reed. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. Always appreciate any comments, thoughts, feedback you have. And if you can go to your podcast provider and rate and review the show, ideally a 5-star rating would be a great benefit to me. Into the team here at Sports Ethos. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. If you haven't already checked this out, go to sportsethos.com. Ton of information, whether you're into wagering, whether you're into fantasy sports, whether you're into DFS, podcasts across all major sports. We've got a ton of podcasts. If you're an individual fan of teams, there's probably something there for you. And we've got a lot of packages that are very reasonably priced. A lot of things going on here at Sports Ethos. We are blowing things up in a positive way. So you really need to get on board and check us out. But before we get into sports, let's get into some memorable events. On June 7th in sports history, 2004, Tampa Bay won their first Stanley Cup. They beat Calgary 2-1 to win the Stanley Cup 4-3. Four games to three. In 2010, Bryce Harper went number one overall to Washington. I remember that. He was hyped as, I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yes, Sports Illustrated. Hopefully some of you remember that. A magazine delivered to your doorstep weekly. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 14-year-old, this upstart kid from Nevada. He wasn't going to college, and he was going to buck the whole process, drafted number one overall, and clearly... it has paid off. Him and Steven Strasburg put Washington on the map, helped them win a World Series. And what are we, 13 years later, the number one overall pick, Bryce Harper, on this day in 2010. In 2018, the Washington Capitals won their first Stanley Cup. So a big day to win your first Stanley Cup, apparently. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3 and win the Cup 4-1. The crazy thing about that is Vegas is back. That was Vegas's, what, first year, I think, or second year. Vegas is back in the Cup now, and they're up 2-0. Looking pretty good to win the Cup. I think they're going to win the first Cup. Hell of a expansion franchise, which they're not anymore, but they've done really well since day one in their existence. So, a little walk down memory lane. On to the wagering angles tonight. We have, as I said, Game 3, the NBA Final. Series tied 1-1. Denver won the first game at home. Then Miami came back and as 8.5, 9-point underdogs and won. And We go to Miami. Denver is favored by 2.5 total. Here's 214. This number, I think if you got it real early, you could have got it at 1 or 1.5. I grabbed it at -2 for Denver on FanDuel a couple days ago. It's at -2.5 right now. I still think that's a fair number for Denver. I would lean to that on Denver. When I look at the numbers, 78% of the bets and 89% of the money coming in are on Denver. Now, that shows at -2.5. Number of those bets could have come in earlier when it was -1, -1.5, -2. But the majority of the money is favoring Denver. I'm on Denver. I think they got a wake-up call last game. I think they can come back. And I said originally they're going to win in 6, so they're going to have to win a game in Philly now. And in Miami now. Even if they split, they can go home 2-2 and then win the next two. But nonetheless, I think they're going to win. I think they should be able to cover this. The number is 214. Opened, I think, about 215, depending on what book and how fast it got on. About 215, so it's come down a little. I'm not really on the side, the total either way. I see, about 35% of the bets, but 56% of the money. So the smart money, the pro money is leaning towards the under. Stay away from me there. I'm on the Nuggets -2 to win and probably cover. You can get them on the money line at about -140. The Nuggets +120 for the Heat. If you don't feel comfortable with the spread, although it's a small spread, probably money line is the way to go. Either way, I'm on the Nuggets to win, take the 2-1 lead, and frankly, I'm probably on the Nuggets again, even if they lose tomorrow. Somebody asked me the other day in our Discord, if they lose tomorrow, are you still on the Nuggets? Yeah, I'd probably still be on them, because I think if they lose, the Heat are coming back at -1.5. The Heat are actually -1.5, -2 point favorites going into game 4, and I'd definitely be on the Nuggets then. So it's Nuggets or nothing for me. We'll see how that goes. Going to take a quick break and then get to the diamond where we have a full slate of 15 games tomorrow.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Before we get to the diamond, heading back to the NBA, I'm not a big prop player in the NBA, but my buddy Keith, who's a director of content here at Sports Ethos, has a few props for tomorrow's game that I think are interesting, and I'm going to actually follow him on this. So if you don't follow Keith already, he is at Ethos Keith, which is E-T-H-O-S Keith, and he does a great job. Loves play some props. He's been doing all right in Major League Baseball as well, and he's had a pretty good season in the NBA. He's not always, but one of the hosts on our DFS podcast for the NBA as well. And here's a couple of props I just saw. I was just talking about earlier, and he's on these. One is the over 11.5. How many for Jokic rebounds tomorrow? So over 11.5, it's about -135. I see that at. And he's also on rebounds for Kevin Love on Miami. So Love's getting a little bit bigger role. Over 4.5, but -165. So you're paying a steep price. Is he going to get 5 rebounds? Keith is on that and thinks he will. And then finally, on DraftKings, you can get Jokic assists under 9.5. Keith is on the under 9.5. So he thinks he's probably not going to double-double tomorrow. And I'd probably back him with that. You know, the one thing with Miami is their biggest asset, their biggest strength is Eric Spoelstra, their coach. Butler's great. Bam's great. All those other guys are great. But to me, the only reason they're in this and this far is because of their coach. And I think he's going to devise a way to, and I think he thinks as well, going to devise a way to combat Jokic underneath and take him out of the game. You can't really take him out of the game, but maybe slow him down a little. So Keith is on the Jokic under 9.5 assists for tomorrow. So a few props for you. They're not mine. They're Keith's, and Keith's been doing really well in the prop market in the NBA. So some food for thought. On to the diamond. So tomorrow in Major League Baseball, 15 games, full slate of games, and we start. You know what? It's an interesting slate. It's a Wednesday. There's a full slate. Sometimes Wednesdays are travel days, but not tomorrow. Full slate of games, and there are a lot of weird pitching matchups. I couldn't get my head around a few of them. I've got a few plays, and I'll get to those in a second. But a lot of openers, younger pitchers, can't really get a feel on. Not like a prospect's coming up, just kind of middle of the road pitchers that I'm not really, I don't want to say a huge fan of because I don't know who they are, but don't really want to back them one way or the other. And the first game is in Pittsburgh, 12:35 in the East. We have Oakland in Pittsburgh, and Hogan Harris on the hill, lefty for Oakland, against Roansy Contreras for Pittsburgh. You can get the home Pirates at -175 and the road A's at +150. Total there's 8.5, just the over at -120. So money clearly coming in on the over. And this is exactly what I mean. Hogan Harris has only pitched 10 to third innings, 6.97 ERA, 1.26 whip. Can't really get a feel for him. Don't want to back him. It's Oakland. Never want to back Oakland the way they've been playing. But they just dropped an 11th spot on Pittsburgh last night, beat them 11-2. So I don't think that's going to continue, but not really sure what to expect. Pittsburgh, not as bad, but a challenging team as well. Contreras comes in 56 innings, 4.82 ERA, just 42 strikeouts in 56 innings, 1.41 whip. So not impressive numbers, a good-looking prospect, but I can't back the Pirates. How do you back the Pirates at -175 against anybody? Flip side of that is I'm not really sure I can take Oakland. If there's any value, it's here at +150 on the money line. Two bad teams. Oakland obviously worse. Is Hogan Harris worse pitcher than Contreras? His numbers indicate probably not that much worse. But who knows what team's going to show up. So I'm going to pass on this game. Next game is 4:10 in the East. We have Seattle in San Diego to face the Padres. You can get the home Padres at -120 in the money line. The road Mariners +100. Total here is 8. Juice to the under at -120. Pitchers duel is expected. And I actually got this under earlier today at -110 on DraftKings. I see it at -120 now. on FanDuel. I'm looking at FanDuel. The total here is, minus 120. So I would not take the minus 120. If you can get an under 8, minus 110, minus 115, chop around. Minus 120 is a little steep, probably moving down. So if it goes to 7.5, I would not be touching this. And I think this is a very good pitching matchup, and that's why. You get on the hill for the M's, George Kirby, 71 innings, 3.04 ERA, 1.01 whip. Just six walks in 71 innings. This kid knows how to command the strike zone. Only 58 strikeouts, so he's not getting a ton of swing and miss stuff. He doesn't have a ton of swing and miss stuff yet, but he's a very good-looking pitching prospect, and he's not hurting himself by putting a lot of batters on. And he's in San Diego, which is a pitching-friendly venue, so probably not a lot of runs given up by Kirby. Flip side of that is Michael Wacha, the reinvented, and I don't want to say reinvented, but the reborn Michael Wacha. 62 innings, 3.48 ERA, 1.15 whip, 57 strikeouts and 62 innings. So he's always been close to strikeout and inning kind of guy, but doing very well this year for the pot. So I think both pitchers are doing well. Both teams are struggling, which surprised me because I actually had Seattle as a playoff team and a potential. I didn't think they're going to win the West because I thought Houston would, although Texas is leading the West in the AL. But I thought their lineup would do a lot better. And San Diego just hasn't broken out. I think they will wake up, but they're not there yet. So two struggling offenses against two very good pitchers so far. I see this is going under. As I said, the 8 is at minus 120 right now. Not sure I'd touch that. I got it at minus 110 earlier. If you can get it minus 110, minus 115, jump on that. But minus 120, I wouldn't. And if it drops to 7.5, I definitely wouldn't touch that. Next game. We are in Philadelphia, where the Phillies host the Tigers. And you can get the home Phillies at minus 250. Pretty sure I've never dropped a minus 250 line on any team. Unless I had some crazy kind of profit boost bonus in there. You get the Road Tigers at plus 210. The total here is at 8, juice to the under at minus 115. And I'm looking here. I see the total of 8 and minus 115. The money's been coming in on the under, but that's when it was at 9. It opened at 9, 9.5. So I think that's probably maybe the Tigers switched. I'm not really sure why that came down so much. It's not. The 8 is at minus 115. Which means money's coming in on the under. And as I see on DraftKings, it opened at 9.5. It's gone to 9. It's come way down. So I wouldn't touch that. Most of that money has obviously come in when it was at 9.5 or 9. And if anything, I would look to the over at minus 105. Only because who is Reese Olson? Only pitched 5 innings, 1 start. When I look through his numbers, I think he had 1 start. So he's not necessarily an opener. Yeah, 1 start against the White Sox, 5 innings. 2 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, and 6 strikeouts. So a decent outing. Phillies' bats are clearly better than the White Sox. And you got Zach Wheeler on the other side for the Phillies. Comes in 68 and 2/3 innings, 4.33 ERA, 79 strikeouts. Very impressive. 1.21 whip. Decent. Not Zach Wheeler that we expect. But definitely good enough to hold the Tigers in check. I can't lay 250, minus 250. The run line. Minus 125. So total here is 8, not a high number. Phillies are at home. They're going to assume they're going to win. One less at bat. Not hitting in the bottom of the ninth. And the run line is minus 125. So not going to touch that either. 640 in the East. We have the Royals in Miami. And you can get the home Marlins at minus 180 versus plus 155 on the money line for the Royals. Total here is 8.5, juiced evenly at 110 on both sides. And Edward Cabrera, young prospect who I think he's kind of losing that prospect luster because he walks just too many guys. But he's on the bump. 58 innings, 4.50 ERA, 1.43 whip. In 58 innings, he has 76 strikeouts. Very impressive. 36 walks. Not impressive. Now he's facing Kansas City. So a team that doesn't generate a lot of offense, but 36 walks, that is his Achilles heel. So if he can stay out of that, he should be able to shut down Casey quite easily. But if he starts getting the walk trouble, it could be a problem. The flip side is Jordan Lyles, who is probably one of the worst, I think, starters so far this year. His record is 0-9. That's tough to do. I know we don't look at win-loss record anymore. We're not allowed to look at that. It's kind of like you can't look at ERA either in modern-day baseball. But 0-9, that's a tough record. 66 and two-thirds innings, 6.89 ERA, 1.32 whip. In 66 and two-thirds, he's walked 24 batters. That would be part of his problem. He has really struggled. When I pull up his game logs, it's been fairly consistent all season long. He has, I think, has he lost every game? 1, 2, 3, 4. No, he started 12 games, so he's lost 9 of the 12 games. The Royals have lost every game he's pitched, hence the -180 line on Miami. But his last game against Colorado was decent. 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, a walk, and 8 strikeouts. But they lost 7-2, so the bullpen blew it. After that, against Washington, decent offense, hit better against lefties and righties. They lost 12-10. 5 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. The White Sox before that, not a good offense, lost 5-1, 5 innings, 4 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Against Milwaukee, 9-6 they lost. 2 and a third innings, 4 hits, 7 runs, 7 earned runs, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. So he has given up more than 4 earned runs in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his last 8 games. So I would look to a first 5 total here. And it was not, well, I think it might be up now. It wasn't up when I was looking early, but it's Miami. The challenge is, can Miami actually get there? I'm not really sure they can. So Miami, first 5 innings, over 2.5 is -110. That's a tough one. Lyles is someone you definitely like to target on a first 5 play. And the question is, can Miami get there, and do they have the offense, especially at their park, to get there? So Miami, first 5 innings, over 2.5. Not sure I'm going to be on that, but we'll certainly consider it. Because Lyles has just been dreadful, just absolutely dreadful. And I just can't back Miami at -180. I don't know if they have the offense to really – I think they have the offense to get to him, and he's been giving up runs to everybody. But I can't back him at -180. And on the run line – at +115. Not really sure I'm on that either. Next game, 6:40 in the East, we have Minnesota in Tampa to play the Rays. And this is an interesting game to me. So you have Pablo Lopez starting for Minnesota. You have, well, I see Sean Armstrong on one site. I see Cooper Criswell on another site. Really relevant because it's going to be an opener. It's going to be an opener that nobody really knows. You can get the home Rays with an opener, nobody knows, at -130 in the money line. The road Twins at +110. Total is 8.5, juiced both ways. I'd actually look to the Rays money line. Run line at +145. This year, Tampa is 36 and 27 to the run line, 57.1%. So definitely cashing a fair bit. And doing well there. And when I look to Lopez, he comes in with 71 and a third innings, 4.54 ERA, 1.16 whip. So he started out really hot and he's slowed down lately. His first 4 or 5 outings were, if you listen to my show, I thought he was a Cy Young contender. And I think he's having a good year, but he's definitely fallen off that. Last outing against Cleveland a week ago, 5 2/3. So not a good offense, not a good offense against righties. 5 2/3, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Part of that against Toronto at home, good offense, 5 2/3, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. At the Angels before that, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts. Part of that against the Dodgers, obviously a very good offense, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. Against the Dodgers, he gave up 3 home runs. Against the Jays, he gave up 2 home runs. So Tampa has one of the best offenses, obviously, in baseball, and they've been hitting for a ton of power. So I don't think, when I look at the ISO metric, so which is basically isolates power, Tampa's got the best ISO at 0.258 in all of baseball. When I look at one runs created plus, Tampa is also number one in baseball, 158. League average is 100, so they are 58% better, basically, than league average. So I don't think backing Lopez is really a good idea because he's been struggling lately. He's been giving up some home runs, and Tampa is not a team you want to be giving up home runs. Certainly, they've slowed down from their super hot start, but I think I don't want to say I can't jump on them at minus 130. If there's a, you know, DK profit boost that comes out tomorrow, they've been doing a lot of that lately. This is probably the game I jump on. They can get a 50% profit boost. Get the Rays at minus 130 at home. You're getting them, you get them into plus money. But at minus 1.5, you know, it's going to be a bullpen game where there's Armstrong or Cooper Criswell, who I've never actually heard of. He's pitched 17 2/3 innings this year. I still think there's going to be value there, and I think they can get the Lopez. So I might look to the run line at plus 145 for the Rays. Next game is in Washington, 7:05 in the East, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in town. You can get the road Diamondbacks as a favorite at minus 130, the home Nats at plus 110. Total is 9.5, juice to the over at minus 115. So obviously money coming in the over and runs expected to be scored. And that is because of the pitching matchup. On the hill for Arizona, Zach Davies. Just 18 1/3 innings, 5.4 ERA, 1.64 whip. And Patrick Corbin on the flip side for the Nats. 67 2/3, 4.92 ERA, 1.481 whip. And it kind of makes me laugh to say that those are actually pretty darn good numbers for Corbin. He struggled to start. He struggled all of last year, and then he struggled to start. And he's had some good outings lately. Now, when I look at what Arizona's done against lefties, I'm trying to pull up their numbers here. They are decent against lefties, not great. Their batting average 15th in the league at 264. They're on base at 319, is right around there as well, 18th in the league. And they're slugging at 425 against lefties, puts them kind of mid-pack as well. At 14th. So they hit lefties well. They don't hit them great by any means. And Corbin, when I look at his game logs, again, struggled. He's 4-5, which I think he lost his first 3 or 4 outings of the season. So he's righted the ship a little. They've actually won his last 4 games and 5 of his last 6 games. They put up a lot of runs. When he started, they've won 10-6 against the Dodgers, 12-10 against Kansas City, 5-2 against Detroit, 10-3 against the Mets. They lost 4-1 to the Giants, and they beat the Cubbies 4-3. His last few outings, he's righted the ship, but it's all relative. Righted the ship for Patrick Corbin. Against the Dodgers, they won 10-6. He went 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts, gave up 2 home runs. Against KC, where they won 12-10, 6 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, and give up a home run. Beat Detroit, not a great hitting team at home. Beat them 5-2, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts, gave up a home run. So he's been giving up too many home runs, walking too many guys, but somehow he's been pulling out the victories. So I don't really buy it. I'm not really backing it. And the D-backs at minus 130 is probably the play. when I look at the splits, there's not really money coming in either way to lead me one side or the other. And maybe even minus 125 on the run line. Although I don't really want to back Zach Davies. Washington's been a decent team. Better against lefties. But when I look at Washington, what's Washington doing against righties? Not very well. Batting average 251 is 25th in the majors. Their on base of 314 is right around there as well. Or sorry, a little more better than that at 19th. And their slugging of 374 against righties is 26th overall. So haven't been doing well. And when I look at their, if I can pull up their WRC plus against righties, Washington has not been doing that well. And their WRC plus is 89, 100 being the average. So they're number 22. So they're below 11% below average WRC plus, weighted runs created. So they're not putting up a lot of offense. I'm not really sure that Davies can shut them down, but I think they can get to Patrick Corbin. So when I look at the, if I can find this, I think they should have this up as well. Yeah, they have the first five innings, which I love to play against Patrick Corbin last year. Made a ton of money going against him in the first five innings. Arizona, first five innings, over 2.5 is minus 130. Not really a number I want to back. Washington, on the other hand, over 2.5 is plus 115, so decent number there, but don't know that I back the D-backs offense to get to him, but I do back the D-backs offense to get to him eventually and to be able to win. So I think 130 in the money line is a decent price. 125 plus 125 in the run line is probably a decent price as well. Next game, we go to New York, where the White Sox are in town to continue their series against the Yankees. Just pulling up the game here. The Yankees come in as minus 135 favorites. The road White Sox are at plus 115. Total here is 9. Juice on neither side at minus 110. And I'm seeing a little bit of lean to the money coming in on the White Sox and the run line at the plus one and a half run line. Minus 165. I'm not really going to lay that kind of money. Lance Lynn goes for the White Sox and Randy Vasquez goes for the Yankees. And I think this is a bet against Lance Lynn, 67 a third inning, 6.55 ERA, 1.51 whip. He'd been pitching better lately. He got rocked his last outing, and he seems to be doing well until he gets to like the six plus, and then he kind of runs out of steam. Vasquez, on the other hand, has only pitched 4 2/3 innings, so kind of relevant to even look at him. I like the Yankees minus 135 in the money line, the White Sox plus 115. I like the White Sox here. I think Lynn is pitching better, and I think he's slowly riding the ship. And the Yankees, without Judge in the lineup, he's going on the IL, are a depleted offense that aren't going to be able to put up the same number of runs, and I think the veteran Lynn should be able to shut them down. I'm not on this game, but I'm definitely into the money line of plus 115. Next game is in Toronto, where the Astros continue their series against the Jays. And you can get the home Jays at minus 150 in the money line. The road Astros plus 130. Total here is 9. Juice to the over at minus 120. Warm day in Toronto. Sun's out. Roof's open. Runs are expected to be scored. I'm actually on the Jays run line, which I was on tonight and cashed. And tonight, tomorrow, they're at plus 125. On the hill for the Jays, Chris Bassitt. And on the hill for the Astros is Ronel Blanco. That's what I said. Ronel Blanco. Back to my original comment about a bunch of pitchers. I'm not really sure who they are or what their status is. So can't really figure a way to back Ronel here. And the Jays, bats are coming awake. Bassett's been having a good year. Comes in 74 innings, 3.41 ERA, 1.07 whip. Blanco comes in 17 in the third innings, 4.15 ERA, 1.9 whip. When I pull up his game logs, doesn't really show me a whole lot of who he is or what he is. Last Well, last game against the Angels, pitched 5 1/3, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So decent outing, but peripheral is not that great. Prior to that, didn't pitch more than 2 innings. So I'm not really sure if this is going to be an opener. I don't think it's going to be an opener. I think they're maybe trying to stretch him out. But Bass has been pitching well. Blanco is an unknown. The Jays bats have been well. Altuve is out for Houston. Lineup is a little bit, not in disarray, but a little bit banged up. So happy to back the Jays here. Not going to back them in minus 150. So jumping to the run line at jumping that to plus 125. I'm actually on that. Next game is Cincinnati with the Dodgers continuing their series with the Reds, the high scoring series that it has been. You can get the Dodgers on the road at minus 170 in the money line, the home Reds at plus 145. Total here is 11. This is slowly becoming Coors Light. I probably shouldn't call it that, actually. Coors Light South, North, East, I guess we should call it. Next to Coors Field in Colorado, these totals are by far the highest. Now, I know Cincinnati has weak pitching and a decent offense. Obviously, their ballpark plays 2 runs, but these numbers have been crazy lately. So the Dodgers are minus 170 in the money line. The home Reds plus 145. Total here is 11. Juice to the over. So money's obviously coming in on the over. Right now I see 42% of the bets on the over, 67% of the money. But it opened at 10, and it's up to 11. So I think most of that money came in when it was at 10. Regardless, Noah Syndergaard's on the hill for the Dodgers, and Brandon Williamson is on the bump for Cincinnati. Syndergaard comes in 52 1/3 innings, 6.54 ERA, 1.39 WHIP. Williamson, the lefty, comes in 21 innings, 4.29 ERA, 1.33 WHIP. Now, the Dodgers have struggled against lefties this year, but they are definitely improving. A couple weeks ago, I was definitely fading them against lefties, and they have moved up a fair bit. So when I look, where are the Dodgers here? They moved up quite a bit, actually. They were one of the worst teams against lefties. A couple weeks ago, they were one of the worst teams against lefties. Now, when I look at the average, they're still struggling in the average. They're 229, 27th overall. But their on-base percentage is getting better, 325. Still not impressive, but kind of more mid-pack against lefties. They are 13th overall. And their slugging percentage, which has always been good, but 472, puts them at third best overall against lefties. So they're definitely waking up against lefties. Williamson is not a good one. Can't back them at minus 170. The run line, even the run line's minus 110. Stay away from me. Maybe if you are into props, look for some stolen base props in Cincinnati, because Syndergaard is notorious for letting players run on him. But can't back the Dodgers at minus 170. Can't back them on the run line at minus 110. And the total of 11. If anything, I would actually look to the over. It's minus 115, so that indicates the number's still going up. I would look to them at the over. Next game is in Cleveland, and we have the Guardians facing the Red Sox. Just trying to pull this game up here. And you can get the home Guardians at minus 130, the Road Sox at plus 110. Total here is 8, juice to the under, so a bit of a pitcher's duel expected at minus 120. Tanner Bibee is on the hill for the Guardians, 39 1/3 innings, 3.20 ERA, 40 strikeouts, so just basically a strikeout inning, 1.12 WHIP, has a good start to his career. Cutter Crawford is on the bump for the Red Sox, 33 2/3 innings, 3.48 ERA, just 6 walks, very impressive, 33 strikeouts, so basically 1 inning, 0.95 WHIP. I think that's why you're expecting a low-scoring game. The Guardians' offense obviously struggles against everybody, and the Red Sox offense has been doing fairly well, better at home, but fairly well. And I'm not really on this game. I like Bibee here, minus 130. I just don't like, I was going to say the Tribe. Can't call them the Tribe anymore. I don't like backing the Guardians because I don't think they can score. Bobby can pitch a great game, and they might lose 2-1. So I don't want to back the minus 130, and I'm definitely not on their run line. Plus 155, that's a juicy number, but are they going to win by 2? I'm not really sure they're beating anybody by 2. So stay away game for me. Next game is definitely the pitching matchup of the night. And I think one of the games of the night, if you're a baseball fan, definitely try to find this one. Although it's in Atlanta, and I think there's a huge issue with Atlanta's rights and finding Atlanta's games. I'm not sure they're on the MLB package. There's one team, I think it's Atlanta, who doesn't sell their rights. Anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. The Braves are at home, minus 120 favorite. The Mets, plus 100. Total here is 9, juiced 1, minus 110 on both sides. I'm actually surprised it's that high. If anything, I would lean to the under because of the pitching matchup. For the Mets, we have Max Scherzer, 47 2/3, 3.21 ERA, 1.09 whip. Do it as Max Scherzer thinks. Excuse me. For the Braves, we have Charlie Morton, 64 and 2/3, 3.62 ERA, 1.44 whip. Not doing his Charlie things, but he does have 72 strikeouts and 64 and 2/3. And the Braves, the Mets are prone to strikeouts. So let me see if I can find a prop for old Uncle Charlie here. And don't have the props up yet. Hopefully in the morning they can look that. I would maybe look to for Scherzer, a strikeout prop, because the Braves are definitely prone to striking out. Great hitting team, definitely prone to striking out. You can get the Braves, like I said, minus 120. I'm not sure which way I would go here. I think I would actually lean towards Atlanta on the run line, plus 160. I know it's a big number, but if they're going to win, they can probably get to Scherzer for a few. I mean, if they're going to win, Martin's going to have a good game. That means they got to get to Scherzer in the bullpen. So I'm not sure which side it is, but if I'm going to pick one, I'm probably into the run line of the Braves, but stay away from me. Next game, Baltimore is in Milwaukee to face the Brewers, 7:40 in the East. You have the home Brewers at minus 145 in the money line. The Rotos at plus 125. Total here is 8, juice to the under at minus 115. It's money obviously coming in the under, which I'm not really sure I back, but I don't really necessarily want to take a side here. For Milwaukee, their ace, Corbin Burnes, who is not necessarily pitched like an ace. His numbers are decent. 69 2/3, 3.75 ERA, 1.18 whip. For the Orioles, Dean Kramer's on the hill. 65 innings, 4.43 ERA, 1.42 whip. And I backed the O's tonight, and they let me down. They were up and by the 8th, and then they blew it, and they're plus 110 on the money line. Didn't cover, and I think this is going to be another game like that. Back and forth, can't really pick a side. Burnes is a much better pitcher, obviously. But Baltimore is a much better hitting team this year, so I'm not really sure which way I want to go. Stay away from me. Next game is in Texas, where the Cardinals continue their series against the Rangers. The Rangers minus 145 in the money line. The road cards plus 125. Total here is 9, juice to the over. So money's coming in on the over. And when I look, I see 56% of the bets and 86% of the money on the over. Now, that opened at 9, it's at 9.5, so a lot of that money might have come in at 9. But I still see 9 at minus 120. I actually think I would lean to the under here, plus 100. Not on that. Instead, what I'm on is the Rangers money line. The Rangers run line. So at minus 1.5 is plus 140. Reason being, John Gray's on the hill, who I like. And I'm back. And I like backing him at home. He's had a good year and a half in Texas, and he pitches better at home. But he's pitched well everywhere in general. And Jack Flaherty's on the hill for St. Louis, who has really struggled with his consistency. Flaherty comes in 63 and a third innings, 4.55 ERA, 1.52 WHIP, 35 walks. And that's your problem there, Jack. Stop walking, guys. John Gray, on the other hand, 64 and 2/3. 2.51 ERA, 1.04 WHIP, 51 strikeouts, so less than a strikeout inning, but he's just been doing a good job at limiting contact and controlling runs. When I look at hitting against right-handed pitching, so how a team is done against right-handed pitching, which Jack Flaherty is, Texas, batting average, .273, the best in baseball. On-base percentage, .336, tied with Tampa for the best. in baseball. Slugging percentage, 460, the best in baseball. So they're basically number one in the three categories of the triple slash line. And then when I go to their ISO, their WRC plus, wins created plus, they're number two in baseball at 119 behind Tampa. When I go to their ISO, they're at 185 against righties, which is fifth best. So they're hitting for power. Their WRC plus is elite, and their triple slash line, they're the best in baseball. And they've just been rolling. So I like them to win at minus 145. Again, if I get a DK 50% profit boost kind of thing, maybe I'll look at this game versus the game I mentioned earlier. But I like them to win, and against Jack Flaherty, who's really been struggling, I like them to put up runs, and John Gray should be able to hold the cards, I believe. As well as the cards are doing, I think John Gray should be able to keep them in line and trying to pull up what the cards have been doing against right-handed batters, which is they're not no slugs themselves. 250 average against righties, which is ninth in baseball, and 326 on base percentage puts them at 11th. 425 slugging puts them at ninth. So top third in baseball, but they're not the Rangers. Rangers are the best offense, I think, right now in baseball. Them in Tampa, you can argue, but triple slash line says it's the Rangers. Going against Jack Flaherty, who struggled. You get the Cards, who are a top third offense in baseball, going against John Gray, who has had a really good year. All things point to Texas, and at a juicy plus 140 run line, I think there's a fair bit of value there. So I'm on the Rangers at plus 140. Second last game of the night is in Colorado. In another game, I just don't know what to do. I'm not really sure I've bet more than one or two games in Colorado at any angle, in the last couple of years. San Francisco's in town, regardless of my rambles, to play the Rockies. You can get the road Giants at minus 200, the road Rockies at plus 170. Total here is 11. Little low. And the juice to the under, surprising, at minus 115. Little low for a typical Colorado game. You can get the Giants at minus 130. How many times do you see a road team run line of minus 130 in Major League Baseball? Very rarely. You get the home Rockies on their run line at plus 1.5, at plus 110. There might be some value there. But it's a pitching matchup comes down before the Giants. They got Logan Webb on the hill. 79 innings, 2.85 ERA, 1.04 whip, 82 strikeouts, just 15 walks. Had a great year. Connor Siebold, on the flip side, not such a great year. 41 and two-thirds, 5.4 ERA, 1.51 whip. You know, all things point San Francisco. Their bats have been doing well lately. Colorado is crap in the bed on the road like usual, but even at home lately they've been really struggling. But I can't lay 200 on the minus 200 on the Giants, and I'm not laying minus 130 in the run line now or ever, so stay away from me. Webb's on the hill, probably should be able to live in Colorado, but it is Colorado, so I don't want to touch a run total there either. Last game of the night is in Los Angeles, where the Angels host the Cubbies. You can get the home Angels minus 135 for the Angels on the money line. You can get the road Cubs at plus 115. Total here is 9, juice to the over at minus 120. So obviously money coming in. And I see the total here open at 9. I see some books is up to 9.5 on DraftKings at minus 120. So it's moving to 9.5 probably soon. 57% of the bets, but 90% of the money is on the over. And I think that's, again, due to the pitching matchup. You can, for the Cubbies, they start Jameson Taillon, 37 innings, 7.05 ERA, 1.51 whip. Really been struggling. 11 walks, which is decent. 35 strikeouts, which is decent. He's just giving up too much contact. Jaime Barria on the hill for the Angels, 34 innings, 1.59 ERA. 1.00 whip, having a good season. And the Angels come in minus 135 on the money line. The road Cubbies plus 115. I think there's probably some value on the Angels at minus 135. The run line of plus 140, I think there's a fair bit of value there as well. If anything, I would look to the Angels of plus 140. When I look at Taillon's numbers, he's pretty much struggled all year long. Last game, pitched decent at San Diego. So struggling team in a good pitcher's park, 5 2/3. 3 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, 3 strikeouts. But his 4 outings prior to that, he gave up at least 4 earned runs in every game. Versus Cincinnati, terrible off, not a good offense. 4 2/3, 6 hits, 4 earned runs. At Philadelphia, 2 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 8 runs, 6 were earned. Prior to that, at Houston, 4 2/3, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. Prior to that, at St. Louis, 2 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned runs. So, you know, recently San Diego and Cincinnati, not great offenses, have hit him a bit. Philly, Houston, St. Louis, better offenses hit him. Prior to that, back in early May, against at Washington, 3 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned runs. He struggled all year long, and like I said, I think the value here is backing Berea and the Angels. Can't really back them at minus 135, but I think a run line of -1.5 plus 140 is, you know, higher number at 9. So runs are expected to be scored. So I'm willing to back a home team a little better on a run line there. And I could see Ohtani and Trout and the boys getting to Taillon early and often. That's 7.05 ERA, 1.51 whip. He has really been struggling. When I pull up, let's see what he's been doing. Sorry, just bear with me for a second. I'd like to look a little deeper into Mr. Taillon. And what's his... Sorry, his ERA on the season, as I said. His FIP is 4.12. Sorry, WHIP is 1.51 on the season. Trying to pull up his stats here. My system is not helping me at all. 2023, there we go. 7.05 ERA, a FIP of 4.12, which indicates he's been a little bit unlucky, a lot unlucky actually. But I think as I read those numbers earlier, I think he's been hit hard by a couple of good teams, but also hit hard by a couple of weaker teams. So I'm not really sure that I want to back him. And I think backing Berea, who's had an up and down career, but 34 innings, pitched pretty well lately, exactly strikeout per inning, 11 walks and 34 innings, decent number. And I like the Angels offense better than Chicago. So I'd probably take him and them, being the Angels, on the run line at a very nice price of plus 140. So that's 15 games in the majors. One game, number 3 in the NBA Finals. Stanley Cup Finals go tomorrow with back in Florida with the Vegas Knights up 2-0. And I think they're going to close that series out in 5, maybe 6 at the most. I could see Florida winning 1 game at home, but then going back to Vegas. And if that isn't the clincher, then heading back to Florida for the clincher. Anyways, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I like Denver. I got them at -2. They're about -2.5 right now. I'd even play that to that point. I wouldn't play them probably above 3. Total 214. I'm not really on that. Staying away from that. A few games in the majors I like. A few angles I like. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. You got some thoughts, some angles, some bets you can make. As I said earlier, any comments or feedback, please send it to me at Doug_Reed34. Please go to your podcast provider and rate and review the show. That definitely helps me, helps my crew here at Sports Ethos. And if you haven't already, follow Ethos Keith. He's great for NBA props, knows his NBA basketball. He's on a few Jokic props tomorrow, which should be interesting to see if they come through. So hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully you can make some money. Hopefully we can also make some money. And hopefully we can have a great day in sports betting.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.